Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Cook, And I am here with Mother Shirley Mitchell, and we would like to welcome you to tonight's Bible study and prayer meeting entitled Peace, Comfort, and Joy at Christmas. You know, as we look around, you know, so today, and like we have, as we look around today, we can see so much. And just because, you know, we have been really wanting to focus this year on those that may not be so merry at this season, during this season. So, you know, we really have been trying to focus on hope and the things of God so that those of us that may be grieving, may be going through, you know, can still have hope at Christmas time. So tonight's Bible study, we're going to focus on peace, comfort, and joy. Now, peace on earth is a phrase you see everywhere around Christmas time. For many of us, we have to wonder where the peace is, though. Whether we're trying to find peace in the chaos of our own lives, or we're trying to wrap our heads around the hope for a political peace. Well, I tell you, peace on earth seems kind of elusive, doesn't it? Now, a quick glance around will just remind us that we live in a far from perfect world. In our lives, we struggle to find peace with ourselves. We regret past mistakes, struggle with our present weaknesses, and worry about the future. We try to find ourselves in different ways and search for our purpose in life through relationships, work, leisure, and travel pursuits. We seek and long for peace in our relationships with others. Some search for the perfect person to date. In other present relationships, sometimes we avoid conflict and we run away in fear of something, of doing something or saying something we'll regret. Other times, we might just take those closest to us for granted and experience the not-so-nice daily realities of living in close proximity with them. And then we can become frustrated and angry over the mistakes of other people. So we struggle with the uncertainty of tomorrow and the turmoil going on in the world around us. World news brings very little positive reports, if any. We wonder if peace on earth is even a possibility. Now, you know, optimists would say that things are better now than they were several decades ago, but why do we still long for a better world? Even when we long for it, no matter how hard we try, reality seems to get in the way. And we're just like the winds are knocked out of our sails. Sure, we're progressing. Mm-hmm. But if we as human beings have so much the potential to be so good, why aren't we living up to it? And I mean living up to it consistently. That's, you know, even with the best of intentions, our human effort to be good and make this world a better place seems to always fall short. So where can we turn for hope, the hope of peace? Well, tonight, I want to ask you if you have considered looking to see what Jesus Christ says as a solution for peace. You see, he taught people to love each other as they love themselves. Not that self-serving kind of love, but a self-respect kind of love. He taught people to love their enemies. And he said, imagine if every single person, group, culture, and country in the world learned to love each other and their enemies, there truly would be world peace. And not only did he teach people how to be at peace with each other, Jesus himself served to make peace between people and God, a peace that was broken because of our imperfection and our rebellion to go our own way and to live a life apart from God. In other words, we wanted to live in sin. And we know that sin separates us from our God, who is holy, perfect, and loving. And it also prevents us from having access to the love and power from God that will enable us to truly realize and experience peace. God revealed himself to people through the person of Jesus. Jesus came to earth in a peaceful way, as a baby, in a humble circumstance of a manger, and then he lived a humble life. Just imagine being God and putting yourself into the limitations of a human body.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Jesus came to restore our broken relationship, to reconcile us back to the Father, so that we could experience that real whole and peace with ourselves and then extend that peace outward towards others. We can have peace no matter what we're going through when we have a personal relationship with Jesus, because we will find peace with God. He came to live life perfectly and died in our place to pay the consequences of our sin. And his death made peace between our sinful nature and God's holy nature. His coming back to life gives us hope of living in peace with God. And then we can find wholeness and peace with others. Because then, when we're at peace, our sin will be based on what God thinks about us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that never changes. And, you know, because what God thinks about us, he never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, today, and forevermore. So, you know, instead of that fluctuating foundation, that old fluctuating foundations of other people's opinions, and, you know, those fleeting accomplishments or those changing circumstances, our identity is based on who God has made us to be and not the things that we do. We find wholeness and peace in our relationship with others because we begin to change, and we'll see people through God's eyes. And we'll remember that, you know what? God first loved us. And we grow in wanting to extend that love toward others, which brings a peace. Because we can bring healing and wholeness to other people around us, in our communities, in the city, and in the world that we live in. And we will begin to see hope for change in others and the world around us. Coming into a relationship with Jesus by faith and following him does not mean we're going to be free of a life of conflict. Mm-mm. Au contraire.
No, it doesn't.
But Jesus offers the promise of hope of something better to come and a power to bring some of that better world to the right here and the right now. He offers us a strength to persevere until the time of the new world comes. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, is a line in a Christmas carol that gives us a picture of God's gift of peace to us. Shalom is a Hebrew word that signifies peace or more than well. Jesus was the perfect example of shalom lived out. Ha! He is Jehovah Shalom. And he demonstrated the kind of peace that we all should long for. Being the Son of God, Jesus was at complete peace and unity with God. Remember, he said, I and the Father are one. And he was talking about himself and only himself. He always treated people with respect. He treated with wisdom and with love. And he always brought peace to those around him. And he ultimately wants to bring peace between us and God. As the ancient meaning of shalom, as a greeting signifies, may you live in anticipation of the day when God makes things whole again. So I want you to understand, when I say peace, I don't simply mean the absence of conflict or animosity. I mean the presence of joyful tranquility and as much richness of interpersonal communication as you are capable of, with the back and forth and the riches and the sweetness thereof of an open, free, sweet, eyeball to eyeball, no agenda peace, because you are walking with the Most High God through your faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's all we should
Amen.
Want.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. You understand? We should, you know, our peace shouldn't be based upon nothing, and I do mean nothing, except that, just wanting to be with God, just wanting to be at one. And there's a key to peace. Let's look at that. I want us to look at them quickly, because I know Mother Mitchell's got some things she's going to share too, because there's some keys to peace, and there's more than one. The key to each of these three relationships of peace is keeping together that what the angels kept together. Glory to God and peace to us. That's found in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. So if you say, I don't have any interest in love, any interest in, love for, admiration of, or the treasuring of the glory of God, and I just want the peace, then I came to tell somebody tonight, you're not going to have it. You're not going to get it. Because, see, you can't separate the two. The angels won't let you. God won't let you. Mm-mm. You see, God's purpose is to give you peace by being the most glorious person in your life. Huh?
Yes, yes.
See, you get peace by understanding that it's not about us, but it's all about him.
Yes.
Okay? We'll have peace in knowing that Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the light. He's bigger than a star. He's the light.
Yeah.
Okay. 5 times in the New Testament, God is called the God of peace. You can find it in Romans 15:33, 16 and 20, Philippians 4 and 9, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, and Hebrews 13 and 20. Jesus said, I love this. This one my favorite. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. It's a gift.
Yeah.
It's a gift. And then Paul went on to say, Jesus himself is our peace. That's what he told us in Ephesians 2 and 14. It says, therefore, if you say, I want the peace, but I don't want the glorious God, I want the peace, I don't want the sovereign Jesus, then you won't have the peace.
Amen. Huh.
See, the only way he can be our peace is by being our God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And we have to say glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. The angels have it right. See, the angels keep it together. If we want peace to rule in our lives, God must rule in our lives because he's our peace.
Yeah.
So the key to peace really is glory to God and peace and to men kept together. You know, we have to have a heart bent on showing the glory of God. Hallelujah. So we will know the peace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what holds the two together? First of all, it's a heart that is bent on glorifying God, that makes much of God, that displays the beauty of God, admires God, cherishes God, treasures God, hallelujah, reverences God.
Yes, all that.
You know? And then, you know, and when they doing that, honey, we'll be enjoying tranquility and peace. And openness and ready to forgive because we're going to have receptive hearts instead of pushing people away. We're going to be quick to forgive. You know, as far as it is with us, we want to be at peace at all with all men. So we even pray for our enemy. So what keeps those together is faith. We believe in the promises of God brought by the blood of Jesus. And there is a key text. It is so precious in my life. I love the text. Just a little simple verse. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. Now, can it get any clearer than that? You know. I mean, it's not hard. It says, how will I enjoy peace from the God of hope? What connects me to that God of peace? Believing. You have to believe.
Yeah.
See, because the peace with God is foundational to all other peace. If we try to make peace with our minds or with our heart and all the guilt and anxiety that comes over again and again without peace, and then we try to hold a family together and make peace at work. Well, sometimes we might get it done for a quick hot second, but it won't last too long. It most certainly won't last all of eternity.
That's right.
So we have to get that inward peace. You know, we have to understand that it is Jesus, our faith in Jesus, that perfect foundation, that purchaser, that blood provider of all promises. When we believe in Jesus, and then when we're united in Christ, we will have peace. Because in spite of all of our unrighteousness, in spite of all of our sin, God still counts us as his friend.
Yeah.
This is the difference that it makes when Christ comes into the world and dies for our sins and provides our perfection. When we believe and we trust what God says, we will not only will be justified, but we will have peace. And secondly, another thing that touches my heart, in the midst, you know, comfort and joy. You know, that's another thing we hear in the midst of this season's twinkling light and Christmas music and shopping and festivity. You know, we hear that song, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. These tidings or news refer, of course, to the gospel message that Jesus came to earth to save wayward man. But comfort and joy? Maybe we haven't been feeling that much lately. In fact, the holidays and all the commercialism, the sights, the sound, the artificial flavors, the everything, it can be really challenging in life. So, what does the Lord say about comfort and joy? He says, Romans 5:6 is both in its human description and its heavenly description. When we were utterly helpless with no way of escape, Christ came just at the right time and died for us sinners who had no use for him. We, the sinful, ungrateful humanity had a need. And God so loved the world that he met that need with his son at just the right time. So we should be able to take amazing comfort from that. You know, until Jesus comes back, we're going to continue to face struggles. You know?
Yes. Yes,
but scripture bears this out poignantly in the record of Christ's advent. Consider a young Jewish girl from Nazareth named Mary. Now, she was chosen to bear the Messiah. Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you, announced Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, as he shared God's plan. And what was God's perfect plan for this devout young woman? She became pregnant before she was married. Now, that was a moral outrage in the eyes of her community and culture. Her fiance determined to divorce her. She made a difficult journey to Bethlehem while pregnant, arriving to find them no place to stay. As she bore that baby, far from the help of family and friends. No part of this plan was easy or physically comfortable. Oh, but yet God's favor was explicit. Consider Joseph, chosen to become Jesus' earthly father. Joseph is acknowledged as a just man in Matthew 1:19. How did God show his favor to this just man? Joseph's fiance became pregnant before they were married, forcing Joseph to decide whether he would have to have Mary stoned. The legally dictated punishment for apparent adultery, or to quietly divorce her. Well, you know him. If you know the word of God and you know the story, he chose to listen to the word of God, listen to the voice of God, and he kept
listen to the angel of God.
He trusted God. He believed in God. He knew he could take comfort in what God said.
Yes.
And finally, consider Jesus. He is the author and the sustainer of all creation. He became flesh and dwelt among us. So as declared in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, and says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross.
Ooh-wee.
This one of whom the Father said, you are my beloved son, with whom I'm well pleased, was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. And for what purpose? Isaiah 53:5 continues, the punishment that was brought us peace on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Hallelujah. See, we have to remember God is with us, but his favor doesn't always, you know, it doesn't guarantee an easy life. If you read the word of God and you look at the heroes of faith, you will find out that sacrifice seems to be one of those recurring things. And it most certainly is one in the birth of Christ narrative. Mary was willing to accept God's plan. She said, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. You see, Joseph was obedient. Word of God says when Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Jesus himself relinquished his heavenly majesty and authority to become a poor human baby, confined by time, constrained by flesh, with one mission, to live a perfect life in this imperfect world, and then to die a humiliating and agonizing death, so he could bear all the sins of mankind and then rise again, having conquered sin and death for any of us who call on him. You know, at Christmas time, we should be reminded that, the physical comfort that we hope for is not all what the Christmas Carol is about. It's about the spiritual comfort of knowing that Jesus, Emmanuel, has come so we are not alone and we can continue to go on as bright lights in a fallen world, because Jesus, the true light of the world, he guides us, he strengthens us, and reassures us that even the most difficult path, there's light. And we don't have to be afraid. Just like he told Mary, the angel told Mary, don't be afraid, Mary.
Fear not.
See, when Jesus is with us, when we know Jesus is with us, we will be comforted. And where there is comfort, where there is peace, there will be joy. Hallelujah. This holiday, see, this Christmas time, we are praying for peace, comfort, and joy to overcome you. Hallelujah. We want you to begin to think about the things that Jesus has done for you. Hallelujah. How he has kept you, how he has sustained you, how he has given you peace in the middle of a chaotic world, in the middle of that situation, in the middle of that household. We want you to just remember that Jesus loves you, and all of this was done just for you. Now, at this time, we're going to have Mother Mitchell come forth, and then we will have prayer. Amen. After that, amen. Mother Mitchell, bring your study forth.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop. I just did a little bit of a study just on the words themselves. And I took peace, and it says, the dictionary says that's a calm repose. And then I went to Numbers 6 and 26, and it says, the Lord gives thee peace. And in Numbers 6 and 26, it reads thus. It says, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. That's just those two verses. It says a lot more, but I'm not going to read a whole lot because it'll take too long. But in Numbers 6 and 26, that's what the Lord says, that the Lord will lift up his countenance and give us peace. Then if you go over to Psalm, let me find, got it marked, 34 and 14, Psalms 34 and 14. I want to tell you, he says, 34 and 14, it says, seek peace and pursue it. That's what the Lord says we should do. That's what his peace that he left us should have us doing, seeking peace and pursuing it. And it says in Psalms 34 and 14, it says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto the cry. That's what we get, and he recommends if we do, he will hear our cries in this time of evil world, even in the holidays when we cry out to him. He will hear us if we're seeking his peace and wanting to and pursuing his, the world's peace. That's not what we're talking about, because they believe they have a peace too. Peace about toys, and peace about food, and peace about money, and peace about a whole lot of things. But that ain't the peace the Lord is talking about. He's saying seek him and pursue his peace. And then in Isaiah 26 and 3, he says, hold on, Isaiah 26 and 3. See, I'm learning from Apostle Zeta about finding these scriptures, see, and marking up. I'm learning, God, I'm listening, and I'm learning, because I want to always have a teachable spirit. Okay. It says in Isaiah, hold on for me, baby, I'm getting there. Isaiah 26 and 3, it says, He'll keep us in perfect peace. In Isaiah 26 and 3, it says, let me find it, 26 and 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So if we keep our trust and trust in the Lord and keep our peace and trust, he will keep us in perfect peace. We don't have to worry about pandemics or any of that kind of thing, because we are in the perfect peace of the Almighty God, and he will keep us in perfect peace as long as we keep in the path he has put us on, and he will bless us and keep us in perfect peace, not just any old raggedy piece of peace when he gets ready like the world does, but in perfect peace. It doesn't get any better than that. He will keep us in perfect peace. Then in Isaiah 48 and 18, it tells us this. It says, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. The seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of their bowels have the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. So he says he will give us the peace like a calm river. We can just repose and have sweet peace by the river and just have that calm peace. That, have you ever been by a river and it wasn't a choppy or running crazy? It was just so smooth, and it had a glassy finish on the top, and there wasn't a ripple in it. That's what the kind of peace he's talking about we can have, like a calming river. And I have one more here, and I'm going to finish up on peace. And it says in, let's see, I think it's James. Six and 14. Okay, I'm going the wrong way. Gotta go back this way. Come on now. Got you a marker there. 6 and 14. Okay, I'm not seeing my marker for that one. I'll just go on to the next one. Let's see. 6 and 14. I don't see it. But anyway, let's see. No, I don't see it. But anyway, it says peace, peace. When is no peace? When there's no peace, the Lord will make peace for our with us and give us peace inside of ourselves. He will give us the peace that we need in order to feel that peace and that love that he gives to us, that he wants to bring to his creation. He will give us that peace. So I just wanted to bring that out for on peace. And then on comfort, and it says console or consolation is what comfort is. And in Psalms 23:4, in Psalms 23:4, it says, 3:4, here it is right here. It says, yea, though I walk, and this is a real familiar one because it's part of the Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, that's some comfort there. And God Amen. Almighty is walking with us and is bringing comfort to us when we feel we are in dire straits, or we're walking and we don't feel safe, or however that could come about in this life. It could be anything, sitting in your living room, maybe. But he is with us, and his rod and his staff, they comfort us.
Amen.
And in Psalm 119:50,
amen,
what he says to us.
I see, Bishop.
In Psalm 119:50, it says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, which yet I have not declined from the law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." So he even expects us to remember what he has done previously and use that to comfort ourselves.
Amen.
We think about all that he has done, feeding the 5,000, bringing Daniel out of the lion's den, and then when the lion should have ate him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace that was turned up higher, and they came out not smelling like smoke. When I read those things, it brings comfort to me, because if he did those things for them, he will do similar things or bless me in the same way and bring comfort to my soul and to my heart.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So I just thank God, and I'll
thank
stop there
you,
on comfort. And he tells us to comfort one another. And then on joy, oh my.
Well, Mom, we have other people. Now, you're running your 15 minutes is going over now. Come on now, Mother Mitchell, now.
Okay, I'll stop there. And somebody else, I'm sure, will talk about joy better and more than I can. So I will stop there. And I will just say a real short prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day of learning and this day of wanting to come up a little higher for you. And I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed me and you are blessing me and to be a better and a more contributing member to my church family. Help me, oh Lord, and help me to always have a teachable spirit. Help me to always be thankful
thank
to you,
Jesus.
And to praise your holy and mighty name, because you are worthy
Jesus.
Of all my praise and all my honor and all my glory.
Yes,
and I
Lord
thank
Jesus.
You, Father, and I thank you for it all and ask it all in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Good evening, Bishop Carver. Come on in the room. With your thoughts, what the Lord is giving you on peace, comfort, and joy at Christmas time. Hallelujah. Good evening. God bless you.
Good evening, Apostle Cook. I'll tell you, it's really amazing, because we have to understand that God's peace is always available to because
yes.
God promises to keep us in perfect peace when we keep our mind stayed on him.
Amen.
And know how much
so
we trust then perfect stars. It's not something that we have to beg for. It's not something that we have to grovel for. All we have to do is stay our mind on God and his
yeah.
word. Understanding that
Amen.
God has magnified his word above his
yes,
name.
Yes, Amen.
What that means to us is that what God promises is absolutely going to happen. It's not something that we have to hope for, that we have to beg for, that we have to cry for. We have to trust God and understand that trust is going to be a painful thing many times, because trust requires us to accept what God says over what things look like. Trust requires us to accept what God says over what things feel like.
That's right.
And trust requires us to reject what we think and accept what God says, knowing that God magnified his word above his name. God cannot lie. And when God makes a promise, God will fulfill his word. So when God that way, what we're doing is simply agreeing with God that his plan is good, that his word is good, that we believe and we receive because we trust him. And see, trusting God is as important as obeying God. Obeying God is as important as serving God. Serving God is as important as pleasing God. But if you don't trust God, then can you really please God? Probably not. If you don't trust God, really serve God? Probably not. If you don't trust God, can you really obey God? Probably not, because trusting God starts with you acknowledging that his word is true, that his plan is, and that his word is above all, because when God said he magnified his word above his name, he was speaking about his son, Jesus Christ. God's son, Jesus Christ, is the living word, is the written word, is the spoken word. All of this is about God's son, Jesus Christ, that he exalted above all because he knew that he could trust his son, Jesus Christ, to get the job done. See, Jesus Christ obeyed God in all things. And because Jesus Christ obeyed God in all things, God exalted him highly above all and said, at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee would bow in heaven and earth and under the earth to the glory of God Almighty. That's what this is about. So it makes me think of what it says in John 14:27, where he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, God is giving us peace, leaving peace with us. And he's letting us know that we're not to allow our heart to be troubled or to be afraid. We're to trust in God. And I know that's easier said than done. But you know what? God is not calling us to easy. He's calling us to be more than conquerors through him who loved us. He's calling us to be victorious. He's calling us to have a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind, and not fear. And see, when we live like this, we're representing God, just as Joshua did in the Old Testament, where he had to go in and take possession of the land that was given to the children of Israel. And it's one thing for God to give it to you, but then when you have to take possession, if you're a landlord or if you ever own property, you can purchase the property, but until you step foot on that property and you take possession, is it really yours, right? It takes trust in your authority that God has given you to walk into the blessings that he says are available to you. And that's why God says in Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, it's the peace of God that passes understanding to us and keeps our hearts and minds through his son, Jesus Christ. And see, for us, that's why we're not to be careful or anxious for anything. And in all things, and that's why tonight is all about prayer, right? By prayer, by grateful language, we're to make our petition unto God with thanksgiving. Let our requests be made known unto God. And so we're to be thanking God for what he's already done.
Yes, hallelujah.
God is good. His word is good. And we trust him absolutely because God allows all that we put our hands to prosper. God does not cause our words to fall to the ground because what we say is what he says. And
that's right.
That when you stand on the word of God and you're dwelling on his word, what you say is what his word says, because those desires he's given you come from him. When your desires are God's desires, rest assured, what you say is going to happen. What you do is going to be his purposes, and his purposes are going to happen whether we fall in line or not. Fall in line. And there's where we get our reward, especially when we do it willingly, right? God shouldn't have to take us kicking and screaming into obedience. We ought to just do what he's given us to do. And I understand that tempted sometimes, but when you get tempted, understanding that perfecting your love walk is the key. So that
yes.
when you learn to love God better, then you learn to love yourself better, then you practice loving others better, and then when you get really good at that, practice loving your enemies. Because God has given us the power.
Hallelujah.
To do that.
That's a good review. That's
yeah.
a good review, Bridget.
Our
we just went through that. Yeah. Say it.
Some of our enemies are our future brothers and sisters in Christ, just as the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul
yes.
was a Christian killer. He killed Deacon Stephen. And yet God called him to be one of the foremost apostles to the Gentiles.
Yes.
And the Jews said, hey, I don't know if we're down with this. We'll call you an apostle to the Gentiles, but you got to remember what Jesus Christ called him. Jesus Christ called Paul, the Apostle Paul, an apostle to the Jews and the Gentiles. So,
sure,
you know, he's
Amen.
The one with the authority. But you remember, man always wants to, they always want to have a caveat. They always want a sidestep.
Yeah,
they always
yeah,
want to
yeah,
have more power
yeah.
than God. I remember when I first started on this network and Bishop Cook allowed me the privilege of teaching on this network while the very people who were in my presence were not embracing my teaching ministry. And, you know, when God says yes, that's the only yes that counts.
That's
and men
right.
can only stop what they
Amen.
Can stop.
Yes,
stop God's
that's
will.
A comfort, yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's where we trust God. In Romans 5:1, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace
yes.
with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, knowing that when you've been justified by faith, it is just as if you've never sinned. Have you looked at a book that is fully justified where the words on the left side are perfectly straight and the words on the right side
yeah.
form a perfect? That is a computer program that is spacing the letters on the line equally so that they end up at the same point. No matter what's going on, those are going to be two straight lines all the way up and down. That's what it means when God says that through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, we are justified. And we're justified by that faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what gives us peace with God because of what he accomplished through his son,
Amen.
Jesus Christ. I just want to encourage each and every one of you this holiday season, don't get stuck into trying to do things yourself. Don't get stuck into trying to let people have more to say about your life than God has to say.
Come
See,
on,
that's
good. Mm-hmm.
We allow God's word to have his complete and perfect will in our life, then we are preparing ourselves to walk into freedom. We're preparing ourselves to walk into that level of purpose, power, and praise that God has for us that only he can provide. And all we have to do is say yes. We trust you, Lord. What would
yes.
you have us do? And God will direct our steps. God says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord.
Yes, hallelujah.
The steps are ordered. If you fall short, God says the righteous falleth seven times, but the Lord makes a way. And that is the
yes.
thing. If you let God order your steps, you don't have to worry about those who come against you because they're not fighting you. They're fighting God.
But
that means they
God.
Lose.
Amen.
They
That's,
lose.
Ooh, hallelujah.
God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God's present everywhere. And that's what gives us peace is there is nobody that's going to come against us that's greater than God. And in order for them to prepare to prevail, they would have to be more powerful than God. So I'm just going to leave it right there. And you know what? There is one more verse. Isaiah 26:12 says, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also has wrought all our works in us. See, your works have been designed, have been made in you by God. He says, for thou hast wrought works in us. And if our works are his works, then he's ordained peace for us so So we just have to trust him. Just trust him. God says, trust in the Lord. Trust in him with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. Reject
right.
your own understanding. And in all your ways, he will direct your paths. So I want to encourage each and every one of you, receive all that God has for you this coming year and this holiday season in terms of peace. But this coming year, receive all that God has for you, because God's plans are always so much bigger than our plans. And
yes.
all we have to do is say yes, and know that what he has for you is good. It's the absolute best. Thank you, Apostle Cook, for the opportunity to share with your people. And I'm glad that I didn't miss everything.
Amen. That's all right. Amen. Amen. Minister Adam Tuggle, good evening. God bless you, dear. You are welcome to come on in the room and have a word of praise, a prayer. Hallelujah. Let the Lord use you.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise
God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I praise God for being here on tonight. I praise God for just him blessing on this week in Jesus' name, giving us another day that he has made.
Yes,
a day that we have never seen before, and a day that we will never see again. We'll never see another day like this. Amen. And I praise God for listening in on the lesson on tonight and the words that have been expounded on about prayer and just communication with God and
yeah.
The thing that the Lord had been dealing with me all week long about being hungry and being thirsty for him. And we must be hungry for the Lord. We must be hungry for the Lord, especially in this day and age that we are living in. We have so much stuff going on as we see the signs of the time, is headed to the coming of the Lord, and the coming of the Lord is right at hand. As we all know, the coming of the Lord could happen tonight. What a great way to leave 2022 with the coming of the Lord. Amen. But I thank God for knowing that I can communicate with the Lord. His line is never busy. Amen. You might, might have an issue going on, and I want to encourage somebody right now that you might have an issue going on. You might have something that you are battling with, and you have nobody to communicate with. The Lord will communicate with you if you allow him to. There is nothing that he can't do. I know that this holiday season, it is a season of blessings, but it's also a season of of hurt, a season of pain for some people, because people have lost loved ones, people have lost not just loved ones but things, and they're I don't want to say down on their luck, because we don't believe in luck, but they're not feeling the happiness right now. Amen. But as the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yeah.
And so I'm here to encourage somebody that the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can make it. You can make it. And that empty and void place, that wound that has not been healed yet, God can heal that wound. Amen. There are a lot of people dealing with a lot of wounds that they do not talk about. And the Lord has got me on this thing here, where if you need to talk to somebody about something, I said this on yesterday. If you need to talk to somebody about problems, about issues, get with somebody strong. Don't get with nobody weak. Don't get with nobody weak. Get with somebody that's strong enough to bear it, that will pray with you, that will guide you spiritually. Amen. Because we have a lot of saints that are going through. We have a lot of people that are going through things, and they don't, you know, they don't want to talk about it because they have nobody to talk to. Yes, we have Jesus, but they want to, you know, go to somebody and physically talk to them, and they have nobody, whether it be a family member. And you can't bear, you can't put your problems on everybody because everybody's not strong enough to bear them. So my thing is that today, if you have nobody to talk to, talk to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. He said that he knows you better than you know yourself. He knows mm-hmm. the feelings of your infirmities. He knows what you're going through even before you go through it. So on this season of, you know, joy and peace, remember that he will keep you, he will keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. And in this happy, joyous time, remember that the joy of the Lord is your strength, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to thank the wonderful servant leaders that came out tonight to share on peace, comfort, and joy. Hallelujah. Because, you know, like we were saying, I just love the way the Holy Spirit works, because, you know, and the way we think as a family. Bishop, you came right in and you reiterated so much. Mother Mitchell, you brought in it's all based upon the word of God. We're not telling you something that, you know, we heard about and it shifts, you know, it's on one of those fluctuating foundations. We are telling you, sharing this good news with you because it is based on the word of God. Hallelujah. And we can have peace no matter what we are going through in our lives. We can have joy. We can have comfort in knowing that we have a God that loves us so much that he sent his only son into this world. Hallelujah. So most question, Heavenly Father, I just come first and foremost thanking you for each and every one of the servant leaders, Father God. We just pray right now in the name of Jesus that everyone can find peace by coming to truly know you. Lord God, I pray that they will find their place in you, Father God, and know that they don't have to remain in their sinful nature. But through Jesus Christ, they can come to know you in the pardon of their sin. They can come to, hallelujah, grow in grace and in victory and have joy and peace. Lord, I pray that we will find our wholeness in you, that we will truly begin to believe what you would say instead of what people say. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would find that peace, hallelujah, in relationships by truly loving other people and seeing them through your eyes. Lord, I want to change the world. We want to be able to change the world by being the change that we want to see. So, Lord, help us to have more love in our heart and more compassion. Lord, help us, hallelujah, to bring down every schism that separates your people. Lord, hallelujah, give us more compassion. Give us a heart, Lord God, to want you and only you, Lord God. Want our faith to be stronger, Lord. We want our love walk to be stronger, Lord. We want, Lord, the world to know that you and you alone are Lord. You and you alone are high and lifted up. You are peace. You are Jehovah Shalom. Hallelujah. You are the comforter. You are the great I am. Hallelujah. There is nothing that you can't do and you can't cover. This Christmas, Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that someone will remember, hallelujah, that it was you that brought them through. It is you that is keeping them here, oh God. It is you that is making a way, even when they don't see a way, Father God. Our lives are not based on our circumstances because they are not our own. They belong to you. And we pray that our brothers and sisters all over this world, Lord God, will begin to receive, truly receive that peace that you give, not that peace that is based on what we see and what we hear, but that peace that is based on your word, Jesus the Logos, that is based on our faith in Jesus the Logos. Lord, let our whole lives be a magnification of that faith, Lord God. We want to go out and share the good news that by coming to you, Jesus, that we will have peace because you give us the strength to persevere. You give us the strength to keep going. Hallelujah. Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus for those that are mourning. We pray that you would turn their weeping into joy. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would just continue, Lord God, to keep those who are grieving close to you, because you said in your holy word that you are close to the brokenhearted, oh God. So we just pray, Lord God, that we will receive your comfort, Lord, that we would allow you to speak to our very souls, Lord, and restore them by your word. We pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that we would just be obedient like Mary. Hallelujah. That we would just do what you would tell us to do, the way you would tell us to do it, so we would find peace, that we would be humble, Lord God, in all things, and that we would glorify you in all things, Father God. We just want to acknowledge you in everything that we do, because it's not about us, it's all about you. We want every man, woman, boy, girl to know that you, Jesus Christ, the Lord, that you, Jesus, are high and lifted up, that you are the sustainer of all creation, that you are the one that became flesh, and you are Emmanuel that came down here and dwelt among us, Father God, and it was you, Father, that your son that was obedient, Jesus, you are obedient even to the cross. Father God, we want to thank you for your son. Jesus, we want to thank you for your love, because you took our place. You took the punishment for us so that we might have peace, so that we could be healed, so that we could be comforted, so that we could have joy. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We pull down those negative spirits of fear and doubt and unbelief and unforgiveness. We pull down all those spirits, Lord God, that causes us not to walk in peace with you and with one another.
Yeah.
Lord,
yeah.
We just pull down that spirit of pride. And Lord, we ask that you search us. Search us. And if there's anything in us, Lord, that we need to reconcile with you, we just pray that first and foremost you forgive us. And Lord God, you strengthen us and you cleanse us of all unrighteousness, because Lord God, we just want to be your humble servants. We just want to love you and serve you in spirit and in truth. We just want your people to follow you, not us, but you, Father God. Because you are the center of our joy. You are our peace. You are our righteousness. You, Father, are our all in all through your son, Jesus. And we just thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have imparted in each and every one of us. Hallelujah, that stirs up those gifts of joy and peace, Father God. We and the hope, Lord. Hallelujah, that keeps us going in those rough times. We want to thank you. We want to thank you. Lord, continue to bless those who are oppressed all over this world, who feel like this is not a joyous time. But Lord, remind them that you can do all things. You are high and you are lifted up and you are mighty, and there's nothing that you miss about us. And Lord, that they would just remember your word, and they will remember your promises. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know you and the pardon of their sin, we pray in the name of Jesus that right now they would just bow their heads and say, Lord God, I'm a sinner, but I believe you sent your son Jesus, and he came, he lived, and he died, and he rose for my sin, because I believe that Jesus is your son, you, the living God. So I pray, I repent of my sin, and I pray that you come into my life and you save me, because I want to make you my Lord and my Savior. Teach me your ways, oh God, through your Holy Spirit, so that I might have that peace and that joy and that hope, not just at Christmas time, but every day of the year, because, Lord, I'm going to commit my life to you, and I'm going to, because I want to spend the rest of my eternity with you. And I pray this and all other things in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen and amen. Let the church of God amen. Say amen. Thanks. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have indeed been listening to Taking It to the Streets, prayer and Bible study for peace, comfort, and joy at Christmas time. I was joined tonight by some of the anointed spirit alive spirit, servant leaders in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Mother Mitchell, you did a phenomenal job. Thank you so much. That was right on point. And of course, Bishop Lester Carver and Minister Adam Tuggle, they always, the men of God always bring it. So I just want to say thank you to all of you, both of you. God is so good, and he does things his way. And what I love most about it is it all works together. It all works together mm-hmm. for his good. I just love mm-hmm. how he uses the whole family to tell the same story. But hallelujah. It just that gives me joy. So thanks to God, we pray that you will continue to have an abundantly blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And if you don't get to stop and stop in over the rest of the remainder of the holiday season, we pray that you have a very Merry Christmas and a blessed and prosperous New Year. So from all of us, from my house to your house, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you. From all of us here at Taking It to the Street and the Spirit Alive Network, God bless you. I love you. Good night.
God bless. Love you both.
Love you. Love you all. Good night.